Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's good to be with you. I want to say to you, I am glad to see you. I hope that you're comfortable. I want to say hi and Merry Christmas to everyone if they're downstairs. And I want to thank everyone that is helping down there as well with our congregation. We wanted to make sure that they were singing and led in singing as well. My name is Pastor Jack Wilson. I want to just take a few seconds and pray and ask you to join me in praying for some people that we know and love. Carrie Ambilsky's mother, Denise Patton, has been in the hospital for a couple weeks at least, and has been struggling with COVID. And then please pray for the Joseph family who lost their wife, Candy Joseph. Just ask that you would just pray for Dick Joseph as well. And then for the Bowles family. Some of you may know Jessica Bowles. That was Bill and Arlene Gobb's granddaughter. She used to bring Mackenzie here to Vacation Bible School. She lost her husband, Pat. So please pray for them as they grieve the loss of Pat. And then continue to pray for the Collins family as well as they lost Jen. And we were celebrating her life this week with them. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, as we need to look to you now for the light. You are the light of salvation. You are the hope and the comfort of our lives. That as you are born into our world, into this Christmas time, we are celebrating Christmas because of your life and what it meant, that you were a Savior, that you were born to come and save us from our sins, that you lived a life that was a perfect life, that you were tempted in all ways and yet without sin, and died on the cross so that we may have life. That you give us a new life, you promise us a new life in Christ, that you will conform us into your likeness and you will take us to be in heaven with you. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those families that we mentioned. We pray for health. We pray for recovery for all those that have been sick and that are needing a touch from you. We thank you for our doctors and nurses who are constantly putting their hands on us and trying to help us as we come to them for our help. We ask, Lord, now for your help, the great physician, to do what we cannot, that you would help and tarry and make up the difference for us, that you would bring healing and hope, that you would bring life and light. As we come to you now, we celebrate this Christmas together. We look to you now for our comfort and our peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is an especially exciting time to be talking about the angels and the shepherds because we're talking about announcing a baby being born. And my wife and I, we became grandparents last year with our first grandchild, and then we found out shortly afterwards that we have a second grandchild coming, and she's supposed to come on January 25th, and we're excited about that, and it's the anticipation that gets you. But one of the things that you go through when you have your first grandchild is you got to figure out what the kid's going to call you, right? You're going to be something. You're going to be. I've heard all kinds of things since I came to Pittsburgh. I've heard Pup. I've heard I've heard Papa. I've heard Pap-Pap. I'm a Papa, and my dad and mom are Papa. And what is Nana? Nana. And then this is Mimi down here. I had the privilege of hanging out with a guy named Michael W. Smith, and he said he was called G Daddy, and I told my family, I said I want to be G Daddy, and they said no, you can't carry that off, and I think I could call he was full of a lot of we had to golf together, and I was very nervous about golfing with him more so than eating dinner with him. But the first shot I hit, I shanked it. And he said, way to go, shankopotamus. No, he didn't say that. He actually said, there's a lot of grace out here. Hit another one. A lot of grace. And then I finally got to the hole and I got my score. I said, what'd you get? And he goes, I didn't know we were going to keep score. And I said, we don't have to keep score. That's good. We're just going to have fun. That's good. He made me feel good. He made me feel loved. And I hope that you feel loved here tonight, that you feel welcome, because if you don't feel like you're in the right spot right now, I want you to know something. God wants you here. You've been called here, and God wants you here, and we're glad you're here. I want to talk about the announcing of a birth, because it's big business these days, And in Alistair Begg's book called The Christmas Playlist, there's a thing, an opening chapter called the Angel Song and How Did They Come? And he says, there are so many ways to announce the entrance into the world of your little one. Pinterest, Shutterfly, WhatsApp, tinyprince.com. You can take hundreds of pictures, magnify and crop them, and send them around the world. It becomes a competition. Here's our new arrival in the crib. Here she is in her first nappy. Here she is having her first bath. Here she is. Here are her footprints. Well, if that's happened to have a baby, if you happen to have a baby next year, here's how to outdo everyone else. Forget emails, forget a photograph on Facebook or an entry into the New York Times. Here's how to win the announcement competition. Have an angel announce your birth. Have an angel come down the street in the middle of the night, waking your neighbors up to tell them what's just happened. And then follow it up with a whole choir of angels providing celebratory background vocals. That's how to win. And although, sadly, the angels aren't taking any bookings right now, this is how the arrival of Mary's baby was announced on the night he was born. It's an interesting connection to us, isn't it? When a baby's born, we celebrate that. Everybody, we tell everybody. But on this night, we have this Christmas card from God that the batteries never run out. And inside that Christmas card is this song that is sung by the angels. And tonight, as we look at the angels, I want you to see and listen to me about what angels are. When we think about angels and what they do, they are involved in our life. And I don't know, this thing's not going to work, so I'm going to need you to advance it. But one of the things that angels do is that they declare God's glory and they fulfill God's will. They are God's ministering spirits. The Bible doesn't tell us how many angels God created, but Derek Thomas says apparently there are a lot of them. Here are a few ways that the Bible tells us how many angels there are. On Mount Sinai, God came from the 10,000s of holy ones, came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. We also learn that the chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands in Psalm 68, verse 17. And then when we come to worship, we come into the presence of innumerable angels, Hebrews 12, 22. And then John says, I heard around the throne of the living creatures, the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads of thousands of thousands. Revelation 5, verse 11. Some of us, Derek Thomas says, fundamentally think that after you die, you become an angel. He said, let me just say this. It's not the case. Angels are angels, and humans are humans, and now and forever. But have you ever seen an angel? I want to ask you that. Have you ever seen an angel? The Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, he says these words, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels. Now, isn't that an interesting concept? Have you ever seen an angel? We don't know. What he's holding out is the possibility that you might have, and that he's holding out the possibility that you could have. And he says, don't neglect to show hospitality to the people that you're around, to the people that you meet on the street. And so as you come and you think about these angels, these are powerful beings, and we need to know what they are and what they do. The simple answer here to the question is that they are part of God's creation. They are part of God's family. There are many of them, and there are numbers of them. There are different kinds of angels. Angels, archangels, cherubs, and seraphs, seraphim. They're intelligent, moral, not ordinarily visible, though on occasions they do appear in human form. Like human beings, they were set on probation, and some of them fell. But what do? God's ministering spirits. We see them with Christ in the garden, ministering to Jesus, strengthening him, giving him confidence. They declare God's glory, as we said earlier, and they fulfill his will. The Hebrew word for angel is malak. And then the Greek word in angelos. The word simply means messengers. They are messengers of God, and they do his bidding. They're also guardians, and they protect people. They protect what's going on for God's will. They wage spiritual battle sometimes. And so as we think about it, the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 10, Jesus says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. In heaven, their angels see the face of my Father who is in heaven." It's a really interesting concept, isn't it? As we see and we're introduced to these angels in the Christmas story. We have a tendency to hang them on our trees and make nice little ornaments out of them. But most of the time when they show up, everybody drops down to their face. They're afraid of them. It's overpowering, if you can imagine, if you would see one in its full state here. But when the angel appeared to Daniel to deliver the interpretation of the vision, the angel told Daniel that the Michael, the archangel, had to help him fight his way through enemy forces. To the full extent of the angelic warfare is not known, but we have few glimpses to suggest that there's a fierce cosmic battle going on right now, just out of sight. And so, as we think about these angels, they wage spiritual battles, they're guardians, they minister to us, but they also worship God, and they deliver messages. They spend their time worshiping God, and we have glimpses of it, like in Isaiah 6, where they're standing around saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And so as we think about the angels, and we become comfortable with them, the Bible warns us not to worship the angels. That is a false doctrine. In Colossians 2:18, it says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in details about visions, puffed up with the reason by his sensuous mind." We are told in Revelation, when John dropped down to worship the angel said to John, "Do not worship me. You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." That's Revelation 19:10. And as we said, they deliver messages. Well, Christmas Eve is about delivering a message. It's about getting an announcement. The announcement being that they want to tell these lowly shepherds something has happened, that they have good news as they make the announcement. The good news is listed there in your Bibles that you're familiar with. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good news." That's quite a statement in today's world. There's not a whole lot of good on the news. And so as we are introduced to the birth announcement this Christmas, we have good news of great joy, and that will be for all the people. The angels, these powerful creatures that guard and protect and watch over little ones, they do the bidding of heaven. And the bidding of heaven is for this group, this one angel, to go talk to these shepherds who are out in the fields taking care of the sheep in their mundane job. All of a sudden, God breaks into their world. Now, you know about shepherds because you've probably heard about them. They were kind of notorious, being known not to be very truthful. They were known to lie, so much so that they wouldn't let them testify in court. But this is who God picks. This is who God brings the good news to. "I bring you good news of great joy," and that good news is for all of us. It's a salvation, not for some people, but for all the people. And it's widespread. It's for the light, for the revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory to the people of Israel. A Savior has been born for all people. A Savior has been born for all people. Isn't that a strange thing to say about a baby? I mean, seriously. In this book, I was looking at it. It was talking about something about the spoiledness of our world and the aspect of sin. The sin has crippled my ability to know God and to live with God. I can't know God. I can't make my way back to God because I'm trapped in my sin, enslaved by my sin, that we're cosmically stuck and hopelessly separated. Sting once sang these words, "Everyone I know is lonely, and God's so far away, and my heart belongs to no one. So now sometimes I pray, please take the space between us and fill it up with some way." Fill it up some way. Isn't this the way that God has filled it up? The space between us, between the finite and the infinite, between the natural and the supernatural. God has got good news that he sent his one and only Son. A Savior has been born for all people. And so we are to take heart, to be encouraged, to know that someone has filled the space. God has done something for us in Jesus. This angel has described Mary's baby as a Savior. In verse 11, he says, "For unto you is born in this day, the city of David in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ," which means anointed Messiah. The Lord, Yahweh, equal to God. In other words, this baby is a Messiah, but this baby is also Lord. He is God in human flesh. God jam-packed himself into the body of a baby. That's a powerful thing. That is good news. That is good news for you and me. A Savior has been born for all people. Then they follow up their announcement with a personal invitation, a Savior, and then a sign. After all, how will these shepherds go find this baby? Though the shepherd is told by the angel, "Hey, you'll see a sign. That sign is for you." Notice how personal the angel is. The angel is actually talking to the shepherds. In Luke 2:12, he says, "This will be a sign for you. And you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." It's not for someone else. It's for you. And tonight, God's message is for you this Christmas day. A Savior has been born for all people, including you. God has given us a sign for you. What will it be? He says, you will find. Notice the assumption, you will find. The assumption is you're going to go look. You're going to go seek. You're going to seek out the Savior. My friend, are you seeking the Savior tonight? That you're not here just by mere curiosity, kind of taking in the experience and enjoying the lights and the celebration of it, but that you're just merely curious, but not really seeking God. This is a sign for you, he says. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. This is a commission by the angel to the shepherds to leave your job. This is a clue. Go seek out this baby as God intended you to do, which is to go look for this baby. Heaven's commission to the angel was to go tell it to the shepherds. How will they be able to find him? Will they look on a throne? No, he's lying in a feed trough. Imagine the cloak of humility is present in the advent of Christ, as well as the cross. Jesus is both infinite and infant. What would this communicate to these lowly shepherds? And what does it communicate to you and me? That the Lord has come to redeem the poorest of the poor. That God has stooped low. That he has come down to our level. That, friend, is good news for all of us. Not the privileged, but the poor. Not the ruling class, but the outcasts. Not the priests and the Pharisees and the religious people, but to the shepherds. The oldest profession in the world. The people who are out in the fields and out of the way, out of sight, out of mind. This is who God comes to. This is who God wants to talk to tonight. For those of you that feel like you're out in the fields, out of God's gaze, I want to encourage you. God sees you. There is nowhere, the Bible says, that you can go from his Spirit. Where you lie down, where you rise up, God is there. God sees you there. He knows when you lie down. He knows when you rise up. Now, some of you lie down, you don't go to bed the same day you get up. And I realize that. You have to think about that for a second, because I always get onto my kids, you need to go to bed the same day you get up. I don't mean to harp on it, but after midnight, you're into the next day. Go to bed the same day you got up. That's just a note from me. That's extra. So, but one of the things that this Noel, this angel, says to certain poor shepherds in the fields as they lay, that this baby has been born, and he is a savior for all people. He is a sign for you that you find, that you will find, lying in a manger. If he can save shepherds, then there's no one beyond his ability to save. You know, there was a time when I thought God, that I had messed up so much that God couldn't save me. My friend, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God will save you. All you got to do is come to him, and Jesus was sent here as a savior. He will save you. You are not so bad that you cannot be saved. But hear me, you're not so good that you don't need to be saved. John chapter 3 and 4 emphasize that, so you can go read that on your own time, of John 3, Nicodemus, the religious leader, and then John 4, the prostitute, the woman. You're not so bad that you can't be saved. You're not so good that you don't need to be saved. We need a Savior. All of us do. We all fall short of the glory of God, and God has sent his Son. A Savior has been born for all people. He is a sign. Here's a sign. And to back it up, what is amazing is that you see this babe dressed in the, lying there in the manger with a cloth. I wonder who she got the cloth from, this poor couple. As you would expect he would be a king, would have everything given to him. Here is this Jesus who was in the highest of the highs, in approachable light, has been sent down to dwell in a feed trough. He's filling the space that's in our lives. And the angel gives the announcement, and then he makes the invitation to identify the baby for the shepherds, that he's a savior for all people. Here's a sign for you, and it's followed by a song. A song. A song led by a great company of angels about peace. A peace. What do we need peace about? Today, our newspapers are filled with all kinds of attempts at peace. Peace between husbands and wives, peace between family members, peace between nations, and so on. And no matter how we try to establish peace with each other, until we discover what it is to have peace with God, we are not going to discover the peace of God. And since we're separated from God, since we have declared our independence and rebelled against this rightful ruler, this peace can only be brought about by the intervention of God himself. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to get at? God had to come. God sent his Son because he had to come and save us from our sins. He's a savior for all people. That we need him to come into our life to have this peace. The peace that's brought only by the intervention of God himself. We may try to find peace without God himself. We may try to find things that fill up that space, that void that's in our life, all kinds of things. Peace through obeying religious rules, becoming good people. But the truth is, only God can give us a peace with himself. The angels tell us where his offer of peace was made. This is a peace that isn't found in something. It's a peace that's found in someone. And it's a peace that pursues us. It sees us. It comes knocking on your door. And the knocks on the door of your life of the shepherds in the midst of the mundane. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been gripped by something for a moment that you know that God is speaking to you, where that you know, whether it be something good, something bad, something sorrowful, something sad, something joyful, where God is speaking to you and you know that you are needing to deal with this Savior, that the only way that you're going to have peace is through this Jesus Christ, this Son of God, this Savior for all people, that the announcement has been made. The invitation is for you to come and seek. And so as we see this great company of angels, that God turns up the volume on the shepherds, it's as if they're not really sure. So he brings a company of angels, a host of angels. And the word for host is an army of angels.
When Jesus was with Peter, you remember Peter was going to fight. And Jesus said, you don't need to fight. Put your sword down. I could call a legion of angels if I needed them. No, he came to die. You see, that's the shock. The baby was born to die. He came to us so that we could be with him. He was born as a man. God came to us. He died on the cross so that man could go to God. Without Jesus, there is no peace with God. There is no peace. So this suddenly, this great company of angels comes to this group of shepherds who are out of sight, out of mind, saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. My friend, why is God, the God of peace, in a feeding trough? Because there was no room. There was no room for him in the end, and he made the entire universe. And let's be honest, there's no room sometimes in our lives for Jesus. We have no room for him either. No room for the baby at Bethlehem's Inn. Only a cattle shed. No home on the earth for the dear Son of God. Nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross did they give to our Lord. Only a borrowed tomb. Today he's seeking a place in your heart and mine. Will you say to him, no room? Let us remember the response of the shepherds, and we'll close our time with this. This Christmas, let us take our example from the shepherds. What did they do? They said, they went, they returned. It's an amazing story. They said, they went, they returned. In Luke 2:15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing. I like that. Let's go see this thing. Talking about the baby. As we think about that, are you willing to go see this thing? Are you willing to look into it? To go find Jesus? They said, let's go see. Then they went in haste. Notice what it says, though, in 15 above that. It says, which the Lord has made known to us through the angels. Tonight, God has spoke to you. And it says there in verse 16, they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known that the saying that had been told them concerning the child. They returned back to their work, glorifying and praising God. For they had heard what they had heard and seen as it had been told them. We can't go find that same manger tonight. But Martin Luther used to say that the scriptures are the crib of Christ now. That you can go look. Tonight you have heard what the Lord has said and has been done. And that you can go look into these things that have happened, these things that the Lord has made known to you and to us, these things concerning this child. It says in verse 18, all who heard them wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. But the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they heard and seen. And if they discovered peace, they discovered it in Jesus. If you discover peace, it's to Christ you must go. When you return to your fields today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, may you find rest and peace in this Christ child who is the Prince of Peace. As our tradition holds, we will close our time in just a quick prayer, but then we're going to sing Silent Night. And while the gentlemen join me here at the front, they're going to help me light the candles. And as we light our candles, we're going to sing Silent Night. But how about a prayer to close our time? Lord and Savior, Savior for all people, you invite us to come, that you've given us a sign. You've given us a Savior, and you provided a song. may we remember as we go back to our fields where we work, where we serve, that we have given you our hearts tonight, that the song of our heart is to glorify you, that we bring a sacrifice of praise as we think about the peace that's in our life. And my friend, if you don't have that peace yet, tonight you can ask him to come into your life and he will bring that peace. He is a Savior. He's willing to forgive you of your sins. You are not out of his reach. You're not so bad that you can't be saved. But you're not so good that you don't need to be saved. This is what God has done. God has intervened to rescue us from ourselves and from our sin. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to bring peace into our life. As we think about this night, this holy night, may we be moved by the child to begin seeking and finding. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We want you to know that we love you, we care about you, we'll be praying for you. Happy New Year if I don't see you till next year. The Lord will fill the space. He has sent his Son to bridge the gap. May you receive him as such. Hear the words of the benediction. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now, forever and ever. Amen. God bless. Merry Christmas, everyone.